Hard Place, a novel by R.A. Jacobson. Listener discretion is advised. Contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations. Chapter 55. Mary Lou Dreams of a Moose. Overhead, the sky was littered with stars. Mary Lou walked along a dark country road she knew well. In the distance, she could see Peterson's farmyard light, and up ahead were the crossroads. That spot of blacktop had been etched into her mind, burned like a brand. It had been so many years, and she knew it as if she had been there only yesterday, standing in the cold dark, waiting for the judge to show. Now, in a dream, for it must be a dream, in front of her she could see two figures silhouetted by the headlights of a car. Shadow obscured their features, but it was easy to recognize her young self standing with the judge. This was the moment when she made her deal. She had never really looked back at this moment. It had got her what she wanted, sort of. There were regrets, but only a few. She had learned later how much she had hurt Jacob, how much pain she had caused the whole community by her death. But she never went back. Mary Lou watched as she shook the judge's hand. There was no hesitation, only the firm resolution that set her on her path. She could still remember his smile, a smile only a snake would make, if a snake could smile. Even now, the memory of it made her shudder. She stopped walking when the figures vanished, leaving the crossroads empty and dark, like an abandoned stage, the drama complete. She looked at the vacant pavement and briefly wondered what life would have been like if she had not made her deal. From behind, a soft click of a hoof startled her and made her turn. She looked at the bull moose, a huge, nearly black beast with its flaring eyes and wide, ponderous antlers, dripping with moss that stretched out around her. In the back of her mind, she noted she was unafraid, although she should be. The moose snorted, shook its colossal head.
Mary Lou, know that a single tear opened a door. Who stepped through was not who you thought. The deal is a lie. It is not the deal you sought. The balance will be renewed with death's return.
I don't understand. A lie? What's a lie? Mary Lou asked. Who are you talking about?
Soon, Mary Lou, soon I will speak the words and the deal will be corrected. But now you must wake.
The early morning sun fell across her face as she woke. Of all the dreams she had had before, this one seemed to cling to her. Beside her, she could hear Matt's deep breathing. She luxuriated in the warmth, knowing there was still at least an hour before she had to wake. She briefly thought about coffee and breakfast, then pushed those thoughts aside. Maybe a few more minutes of sleep. She rolled onto her back and came face to face with the snout of a huge bull moose standing over her, its muzzle inches from her nose. Its antlers scraped the walls, leaving deep gashes in the plaster. The room filled with a heady, musty odor, and its blazing eyes regarded her. Mary Lou's eyes snapped open. Cautiously, she rolled onto her back and sighed, relieved that no moose stood above her. Matt snored beside her. She closed her eyes in hopes of falling back to sleep, but quickly rejected the idea and rose to make coffee. Rarely did she remember her dreams. Like most people, she thought they slipped from her mind as the world poured in, but this dream stayed clear and urgent. A single tear? Whose tear? What door? But the line that most disturbed her was about her deal being a lie. What was that all about? Was she still bound by her contract? And what did Mr. Marassa mean about the judge, or old Tom, or whomever? If it wasn't who she thought it was that night at the crossroads, then who was it? She sat and sipped her coffee and watched Matt sleep. Her feelings for him had rocketed through her. He was safe, a safe place for her, and was quickly becoming her rock. They had planned to spend the day together. They had, in fact, spent several days together since their coffee that late night, or rather early morning. She had the feeling they had known each other for their entire lives, though they had just met. Matt shifted.
"I thought I smelt coffee," he said sleepily.
"Want a cup?"
"No, not just yet. It's early. Why don't you come back to bed?" He grinned.
Chapter 56. Dark Shapes Looming. That night in his dreams, there were dark shapes looming about him with long clawed digits ready to tear at his skin and his eyes. Their eyes glowed with a fiery hunger as they stared down at him. Opening sharp-toothed mouths, they lunged and he screamed. He woke, vaguely aware he'd been screaming. Then he realized it wasn't him at all. Confused, he stumbled from the bed. The screaming was coming from the living room. He ran out to see the guitar bathed in blue fire, a fiery blue skull where the headstock was, and the guitar was screaming, screaming like a banshee from hell. It screamed and he held both hands over his ears until he couldn't stand it any longer. He grabbed the guitar, the blue flames, tentacle-like, reaching for him, crawling up his arms, wrapping around him. He took the guitar and smashed it down on the floor. Again and again, he smashed it down, screaming the entire time, screaming in words he didn't recognize, screaming his rage and his fear until the guitar was nothing but splinters held together by strings. He picked it up and threw it hard against the wall. He fell into a chair. There he slept, his head falling forward on his chest. And now his dreams were of demons and screaming guitars, engulfed in blue flames, with laughing skulls that turned into cheering people, laughing and clapping until they reverted to those skulls. Anything.
Chapter 57. Grant Anderson Does Some Magic. Grant Anderson stood at her front door and watched Jacob and Brian drive away in the demon. She looked at the ominous sky. Dark clouds menaced the east. She had read the signs, felt the air shift, and knew the time she had dreaded for so many years had come. Ever since she had refused, she knew the day would arrive when she would have to make a choice. She had spoken to the crow, the raven, and the coyote, heard their truth. She had opened the rabbit's belly and tasted the sourness of its heart. She had walked through the woods at night, her bare feet felt the earth and its mood. There was an imbalance in the world. A truth had been hidden for too long, like black mold beneath the surface of a bright red apple you only find when you bite into it. She had prepared as best she could, knowing nothing would be enough. She would have to sacrifice far more than she wanted to. The blustery wind spun her hair around her face. Frowning, she pulled the door closed, but did not lock it. There was no point. From her bookcase, she retrieved a small linen package wrapped tightly with twine. In it was a single candle she had made some time ago, especially for this day. It had taken many years to gather the ingredients. Sharon, the previous owner of the house, her aunt, and a powerful witch, had left some of the needed ingredients. On the floor in the middle of the room, she placed the candle on a small plate, lit it, and turned the lights off, plunging the room into near darkness. The candle sputtered and sparked, but remained lit, giving off an odd green radiance. She would miss this house, her home. So many wonderful memories lived here. This is where she truly became. This is where she had refused.
A young girl, newly born, she had stood against the dark power and said no. But as years passed and that power grew, its tentacles spreading through her world around her, she knew the day would come when it would once again reach for her, and she would not be able to refuse a second time. Within these walls, she had prepared for the time she would do battle against the one who had come. However, no matter how much power she gathered, she could never be powerful enough. So she made a different plan. If she could not defeat him, then she would have to become something other than what she was. This, too, would take immense power. She had cast a spell on her home and on herself. Every person who walked through her door without their knowledge or consent had given a small piece of their life, a small fraction of a second stolen. Years ago, when she had first cast the spell, she had felt guilty. It wasn't right to steal life, even such a small amount. But she had seen into the near future and knew what she would have to do. When the time of revealing came, she would not survive without a store of power. So she cast her spell. It was a surprisingly simple spell, and it worked perfectly. The tiny portions of life had added up, and her house held enormous power, the power she would need to cast the strongest spell she'd ever attempted. This time when he came, she would be taken, unless she was already someone else's. She knew if she succeeded, she would be forever changed. In fact, she would no longer exist. At least, not as she was now. Another creature would take her place. She would still exist inside, but then again, she wasn't completely sure, having never cast a spell like this before. But there was no longer a choice. She began the words she had written and rewritten for years. My line unbroken, protect this token. By the light of four, harm me no more. Iron and bone, blood and stone, protect my home. I bind you left, I bind you right, I bind you now. Stay from my sight. I bind you day, I bind you night, I bind you now with all my might. The magic upon me, be trapped this night. Between these mirrors, never see light. From me to you. Cast back times two, many tooth, tongue-lashed, bound and binding, false words, black words, spoken twice, false you are, false is your power, in two and in one, your face revealed, true return, both the judge and the white rider, turn to your facade. As she intoned, she walked through the room, her hands out, fingertips grazing the walls, touched her books and objects of power. Where she touched, small silver sparks like static electricity traced her fingers. She made seven turns around the room, collecting tiny sparks like fine cobwebs. Then she opened the door to her cellar and started down, still quietly speaking the words. Little lightning entwined her toes with each step she took, arcing from foot to tread. By the third step, her feet no longer touched the stairs. Her head tipped back, her hair billowed and writhed as if alive. Bluish white lightning snapped around her, sliding up her body and across the walls of the stairwell. She drifted down into the dark, cool, stone-walled room. As she entered, candles set in the niches flared to life, filling the room with a shifting light. A mammoth moose skull, dark with age, was mounted. Its gigantic antlers stretched from wall to wall. The candlelight made its empty sockets swim with movement. Gran hung suspended, eyes closed, focused on the entity she was calling through the skull of the great ancient beast. Her fingers crackled with tangled webs of lightning that arced from the walls and stroked the skull. They danced blue in the orange light of the candles. She continued to chant the words. They seemed to echo around her until her voice became multitude, speaking in unison. She drifted down to the stone floor, the tips of her toes touching lightly. She stood in front of the skull that seemed to regard her. Then, as if she had been held up by strings that were suddenly cut, she sank to her knees, her head fell to the floor, and she stayed there for several minutes. Her words continued to bounce around the room like ripples on the surface of a pond. Violently, her spine arced, and she screamed, throwing her head back. Her back exploded into a fountain of blood and bone as gore-covered antlers burst out. A massive, dark shape, shining wetly, struggled to free itself from the mangled body. A moose climbed out. It pulled itself from the body with huge, powerful jerks, yanking her about like a small animal in the mouth of a predator until the moose freed itself. Gran was cast aside, now a bag of skin that slapped against the floor. The moose dominated the room, its antlers draped with ribbons of flesh. It stood, head lowered, breathing heavily. Snorting, it shook itself, scattering blood and gore across the room, drenching the walls and floor and ceiling with crimson. In the corner, Gran Anderson stirred, then rose unsteadily to her feet. Drenched in blood, her hair hung darkly, glistening. Her eyes were shockingly white in her red-coated face. For a second, she stood confused. Then she turned and faced the great beast. The moose bowed to Gran Anderson, who bowed in return. "So it's done." Gran Anderson reached for the creature's muzzle, and then there was a blinding flash. The room went black. Slowly, the candles flickered back to life. The beast was gone. In the center of the room stood Gran Anderson, but not Gran. Her head was dipped down, and as it rose, the antlers sprouted from her head, pushing through her long gray hair till they scraped the ceiling. Smoke drifted from her burning white eyes. She spread her arms wide, and her voice, deep and resonant, reverberated around the room. "I have become. For now I am the voice. I am the messenger. From my lips the words are spoken, and the words are the words of death."
Woke the following afternoon. He was stiff, sore, and his neck ached. He looked at the guitar standing in the corner, not in pieces, but whole. Had he dreamt the screaming blue-flamed guitar? Had he dreamt himself smashing that guitar? Was he still dreaming? In the bathroom, he stood before the mirror. He leaned forward and rubbed his face. He saw a man, gaunt and shrunken, barely recognizable as John or Dwayne, or anyone he had ever been. He stared at his face for a long while, seeing something different in his eyes. He woke Wednesday morning feeling anxious, for no reason he understood. He spent the day pacing, trying to involve himself in one thing or another. It never crossed his mind to leave the apartment. He had stopped eating, and work was only some distant, half-remembered dream. As the day wore on, his feeling of unease increased, and he paced more quickly around the rooms. He paused at the window and looked out, then turned and paced some more.
Chapter 59. Mary Lou is followed. Mary Lou's heels clicked with each step as she made her way through the city streets. She normally wasn't nervous. The dark held no terrors for her, since at just 16 she met the judge at midnight. When you've met the devil and walked away, there is not much left to be afraid of. Tonight the darkness seemed deeper, somehow menacing. Her dream had kept coming back to her, haunting her. Now, heading for a rehearsal, she felt nervous. Actually, it was more than nervousness. She felt a fear she had never known before. What she was afraid of, she wasn't sure, but she was. She had told Matt about the dream, and he surprised her by getting upset. Although, as she thought about it, he wasn't angry. It was like he was scared, as if he knew something and was afraid of what it meant. He said he had to leave early, mumbling something about work. "About Alan?" she asked, partly to change the subject. Ever since they had met, Alan had been the topic of conversation.
There was something that had upset him about his old partner, but he never really went into much detail.
Alan? No. Well, maybe.
He stood and pulled on his trench coat that she secretly chuckled at. A detective who dressed the part. He was cute.
I'll call you later.
He leaned in and kissed her.
I love you.
He stopped, realizing what he'd said. Her eyes were wide, and her mouth was slightly open in surprise. After an uncomfortable moment, she said, Me too. Matt frowned, then smiled, then gave her another kiss and left. It was nearly 11, and he hadn't called all day. She was sure he was upset. She should have said, I love you. But it had been only a few days, and really, no matter how comfortable they felt with each other, it was pretty damn fast for that kind of talk. With Matt on her mind, she hustled, eyes searching the shadows for the dangers she felt lurked all around her. Behind her, a noise that sounded like hooves made her stumble. In her mind, she saw the moose from her dream. She spun to look, but the street was empty. Her nerves finally grabbed her. She pulled out her phone and dialed Matt.
Pick up, pick up. Matt? Oh, Matt, there's something wrong. There's something following me.
Mary Lou? Where are you? Who's following you?
I don't know. I've been seeing things. Now this. I'm scared, Matt.
I'm at the office. Where are you? I'll head over right now.
As she spoke, Mary Lou walked quickly, nearly running. She turned the corner and saw the lights of the Aturian Lounge. Her heart slowed. She felt calmer with her destination in sight.
No, don't worry. I'm fine. Just scared myself.
I'll be in the Aturian by the time you get here.
Are you sure?
Yes, yes, I'm fine. I can see the lounge. It's fine.
Okay, are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I'll see you later. She hung up the phone and pulled the door open to the lounge. Behind Mary Lou, a massive moose, its horns scraping the edge of the brick wall, stepped into the light and watched her entering the lounge. With a snort, it slipped back into the shadows. The rehearsal was going well. Mary Lou was happy with the band. They were tight. The new bass player had got the song list quickly and was good, maybe even better than the old one. There was a lot of turnover in her band. It was weird, but that was the way it was. She was excited about the next show. In the middle of her final number, the song that would finish the show on a high note, she turned from the band as she sang the final lyrics and opened her eyes to the imaginary audience. But what she saw froze her. A giant moose filled the entire space, standing 20 feet tall, dark, nearly black, its matted fur coarse and rough. It howled with great booming guttural sounds as its split hooves knocked over chairs and crushed tables. It stepped toward Mary Lou, its head leaning down to come eye to eye with her. There was intelligence in its massive orbs. Mary Lou screamed. The mic fell from her fingers. She stepped back and dropped into a crouch, her arms above her head to shield herself. One of the bandmates touched her arm. She flinched violently and looked out into the lounge. The moose was no longer there.
Mary Lou? What the fuck? You okay?
It was Tommy, her lead guitarist.
What? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I've been having some weird dreams. I'm just overtired.
Stories from a Hard Place is a narrative podcast. Every Tuesday and Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another chapter from Hard Place, read by the author. Opening music by Noah Zacharin. Production copyright by R.A. Jacobson, 2022. If you'd like to support Stories from a Hard Place, please go to patreon.com/hardplace. If you would like a book version, either ebook or print, you can find it anywhere books are sold, including your local library. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.